Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. Chris, what about the Mueller investigation? Everybody is sitting on pins and needles wondering when we're going to see something.
He continues to, explore new leads. He continues to, bring more people in for arraignments. He obviously has an endless amount of, potential wrongdoing to sort through. I don't want to cut him off prematurely. I want him to be able to explore every avenue so that he can answer the question definitively, or at least as definitively as he can. Did the president or people working for him work with the Russian government to steal the 2016 election? There's obviously a lot of smoke that would suggest that the answer to that question is yes, but it'll be Mueller who ultimately comes to that conclusion, or at least presents Congress with evidence so that we can come to some final conclusion. What we know is that the Trump administration has been lying over and over and over again about their connections to Russia. They told us initially that nobody in the Trump administration was talking to the Russian government, and now we know it was the president's son. It was the president's son-in-law who were taking meetings with Russian agents who claim to have information on Hillary Clinton. And so the story has, always been, there's been a cover-up from the beginning. It's just a question of what they've been trying to cover up.
When we hear from Mueller, even if the president has a higher positive polling than he does now, it still is a matter of law, right? It doesn't have to do with political popularity.
Yeah, well, it's the impeachment standard is not necessarily a legal standard; it's a political standard, high crimes and misdemeanors. And so my impression is that Mueller is likely going to give a report to Congress of what he found, and it'll be up to Congress to decide whether that merits a conversation about impeachment. And of course, that has nothing to do with the president's political standing. If Congress believes that he has compromised the integrity of his office such that he has reached that standard of high crimes and misdemeanors, then the Congress has to move forward with impeachment. But we just won't know that until we have Mueller's report.
Some of your colleagues on the Republican side, the House and the Senate, are facing hellish consequences if they oppose this president, if they're Republicans. Will that make a difference?
I think it will. I think the Republican Party is slowly being purged of anybody that stands up to President Trump, and some of that is through self-selection. Friends of mine like Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, who have been amongst the most vocal critics of the president, have chosen not to run for re-election, I think in part because they fear that they might lose those primaries. Obviously that's unfortunate. We're at a very unique moment in which, it's not about Republican or Democratic priorities. It's about whether or not we're going to be a democracy for the next 240 years. Trump's assault on the rule of law and the free press, on objective truth, they have long-term consequences for the survival of the nation. And while a handful of Republicans understand that, not enough do, and some who do now think that they have to be quiet if they want to survive politically.
Precisely. Let's talk a little bit about immigration policy. People are furious about the idea of, taking children away from parents, from mothers, and separating them. I have 2 4-year-old grandchildren, and I know how they are with their parents. It does seem draconian, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure what the word is. Draconian certainly isn't strong enough. I just can't understand a president who's decided to intentionally traumatize and terrorize kids this way. I have young kids myself, and the idea of your children are being ripped away from you with no explanation. In some instances, reports suggesting through sort of false advertising, some kids are being told that they're going, somewhere to wash up, and then they never get returned to their parents. It's just unconscionable, and I don't know why this the country doesn't rise up and force Republicans in Congress to pass legislation protecting these kids. It's not who we are. It's going to be a very, very shameful moment in American history, and everybody and anybody who remains silent about what's happening to these kids and to these families when they have to account for their lives, I think they're going to rue being quiet.
I'm going to go to a whole different subject. What do you think about sports betting?
I mean, I have real mixed feelings about it, and I really worry about the addiction to gambling that can spiral. I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. Often it's very quiet. But, you know, as you have an easier access to gambling, whether it be casino gambling or sports gambling, there are some pretty serious societal costs that come with it. You know, the reality is that a lot of these online sites had, you know, found ways around the existing laws. And so it has become pretty easy to bet on sports if you want to, you know, on sites like DraftKings and others. So, you know, maybe the reality is that the genie was already out of the bottle, but there are some, you know, pretty serious costs that come with these addictions. And it's why we've always been careful about, you know, providing access to individuals to gambling anywhere and everywhere.
Are we better off having states doing it on their own, or the one standard for the whole country?
You know, I think you can do it one state at a time, except for the fact that the internet kind of blows up state regulation of practices like gambling. So given the fact that, you know, internet sites don't really understand state boundaries and can't really be regulated one state at a time, it begs for some kind of national decision, at least as it relates to online gambling.
Chris Murphy, my friend and your friend, Elizabeth Estee, is not seeking re-election. Are you playing any kind of role in making sure that that seat stays Democratic?
I am. I'm going to be working with whatever candidate emerges from the primary. There's going to be two or three candidates on the Democratic side running for the 5th District seat. It's no, it's no secret to people who follow politics in Connecticut that I had, you know, encouraged one of the candidates to run, Johanna Hayes, who's the 2016 Teacher of the Year. I think is a fantastic new voice in the party. But Mary Glassman, who's also running, is a longtime friend, is an incredibly competent manager of Simsbury's town government for a long time. And, you know, I think it's great that we've got a couple good candidates in the race.
And I only got a minute for this, but I see that Mitch McConnell is talking about keeping you guys there in August and doing away with the August recess. That would put serious crimps into anybody who's running for re-election, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation that, you know, he's keeping, you know, Democratic senators here in August because a lot of Democratic senators are up for re-election, and he thinks that that's going to hurt them. I'm not sure that that's true. You know, what we would love to do in August is to focus on health care, focus on the unwinding of the Affordable Care Act, the sabotage campaign that Republicans have been waging against the health care system, talk about why the president is now going to court to make the argument that protecting people with pre-existing conditions is unconstitutional. So I'm always willing to work down here. Obviously, we work pretty hard in our districts and our states, too. But if we're working on health care, I think that that's a worthwhile reason to stay. I don't think it's terribly politically advantageous to McConnell and Republicans.
Well, it was great to talk to our friend, Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. Chris, good luck on everything. When we come back, we have a lot more.
Great.